Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Winning Business Radio, where we connect you to strategies and resources to help you win more RFPs. I am your host, Lisa Rehurick, the number one leading authority on RFP success and passionate about helping small businesses win at business. And I'm so honored today to have with us Dr. Pamela Williamson. Dr. Williamson has been in senior leadership for over 25 years. She's got a really impressive resume. Her area of expertise lies within change management and reorganization strategies. But currently what she does is she's president and CEO of Webeck West. Webeck West is a regional partner of the Women's Business, let me see if I can do this without getting tongue-tied, Women's Business Enterprise National Council, or in other words, WeBank, a coalition of corporations, WBEs, which stands for Women Business Enterprises, and regionally focused women's business organizations. As an affiliate organization of WeBank, Webeck West implements the certification standards of WeBank throughout Arizona, Colorado, Southern California, Utah, Wyoming, Hawaii, and Guam. Guam, that is cool. Though WBE certification is nationally recognized and accepted by more than 7,500 major corporations, they also support corporations in their efforts to include WBEs in their supplier diversity programs. Webeck West's mission is to cultivate sustainable relationships between certified WBEs and corporate America through certification, education, and targeted networking. And as her role as president, Dr. Williamson strives to facilitate mutually beneficial procurement opportunities for WBEs and corporations on both a local and national level. Now, I wanted to have Dr. Williamson here because we talk a whole lot when we're talking about RFPs, about supplier diversity, and we talk about the different certifications, and she's a perfect person for us to have a conversation with around women business enterprises. So welcome, Dr. Williamson. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. Well, let's kick this off just by asking kind of the basic, simple question, but what exactly is a certified women business enterprise? What does that even mean?
Okay. Well, a certified women business enterprise is a business that is 51% owned, operated, governed, and controlled by women or women, and that has successfully completed the certification process by one of the 14 regional partner organizations, which means that there are 14 organizations like Webeck West across the nation, which are sanctioned by WeBank, which is the Women's Business Enterprise Council West.
Okay. So who are, so I hear people say that sometimes, like, well, I'll just do it through SBA, Small Business Administration. What's the benefit of doing it through Webeck versus just going directly to SBA?
That's a great question. There are some differences.
Yes.
So one, the WeBank certification is really for private industries. So okay. We used to say a lot of times that it was for the Fortune 500 or above, mm-hmm. but now we're seeing the Fortune 100 and above utilize our certification.
Nice.
WeBank also provides the WOSB certification, which is that women-owned small business through the SBA. So we're also a third-party certifier for that.
So what's the difference between the WOSB, so that's the women-owned small business, and Women Business Enterprise? What's the difference?
So WOSB certification is specifically for government contracts.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. And the WeBank certification is for private industry certification.
Okay, but there are times when the WBE works for government also. Is that a correct statement or am I confused?
No, there is. So yes and no. It depends on the type of contract. So if the contract is coming directly from the government, it is only going to take the women-owned small business certification, the WOSB.
Interesting.
But for example, let's say the city of LA is doing a project and it's coming from the state possibly.
Yep.
They may accept the WeBank certification, but they may not.
Oh, wow. So a lot to know. You know, we had a guest on here a few months ago and we started talking about certification. It's one of the reasons I wanted to bring you in because there's so much to understand and to know as a small business enterprise, as a women-owned business, right? And how we can utilize these certifications. So if you're talking to somebody who's a women-owned business, 51%, what would you say to them if they said, well, why would I bother? Why should I get certified?
So I typically will start that conversation with asking them what their goals are for their organization. Mm-hmm. So what do they want to accomplish? Do they want to do business with a Disney, a Chevron, a Shell? If the answer is yes, then certification is definitely something you might want to consider. Mm-hmm. If the answer is no, and you only want to do business, let's say, with the local drugstore down the street, that we might not be a good option for you.
Yeah. That's such a great segue actually into that question about Disney and Shell. And it gets really, it's easy to get starstruck by those big corporations, right? Like, oh my gosh, I want to do work with Disney. And if only I could just get a Disney contract. So I'm going to go ahead and go out and get certified. And then I'm going to get a contract with Disney and my business will be set forever. What's your response to that way of thinking?
So my first response is that you might want to consider doing some research on any major corporation. Yes. Because sometimes their payments are so slow that mm-hmm. it could possibly drive you out of business waiting for a check.
Oh, great point. Yeah.
Another thing is the requirements to do business with them might be more than what your company can handle. So I always tell people, when they first get certified, to really look at 5 to 7 companies that they might want to do business with, regardless of who they are. Mm-hmm. Really look at what the requirements are, what their payment structure is. Okay. But then also look to see if they have any tier 2. What's their tier 2 relationship? So you might be able to do business with a Disney is a second or third tier.
What does that mean, the tiers?
So what that means is that Disney might contract with the Prime. So let's say a larger company.
Okay.
And then you might be able to contract with that other company. So the money is still the same. It's still flowing, but it might not be a direct check from Disney, but you're still indirectly doing business with Disney.
So as a tier 2, you'd probably be a smaller company that doesn't maybe meet some of those big requirements, but it gives you an opportunity to get in the door.
It could be, or okay. is it tier 3? Because what's confusing to me around the tiers, so I'm going to assume it's confusing to others, is
sure.
that a lot of people don't know that Nestle is a Prime to Disney. So no one would consider Nestle a small company.
Interesting. So you might have already said this, but I'm going to ask it again because I don't think that it sunk in for me. So it probably didn't sink in for the listeners. Why would somebody like a Nestle need to be a contractor to Disney?
Because they're selling a product or service to Disney. So Disney does not produce everything or manufacture everything. So they have to buy from someone.
Interesting.
And so sometimes you might come in at a tier 3 or a tier 4 or a tier 5.
So those tiers really mean that you're providing a product or a service to a company who's then providing it to a company who's then providing it to a company.
Correct.
Interesting. So let's talk about relationship building for a minute, because it feels like a lot of people that I talk to will say, and I said this a couple minutes ago, but a lot of people that I talk to will say, well, I'm just going to get my certification and then I'm going to have access to all these companies. But there's still this huge relationship building component that comes into play. Like all of a sudden, Disney's not just going to open its doors and go, whoa, I'm going to give you business. Come on in, right? So how do you balance that with the certification and the access that they might have through the certification?
Okay, so there are probably 3 questions that you asked in that one long question. So okay, I'm going to try to break it down.
Awesome, thank
you. So first of all, let's talk about access and what access WeBank certification provides you. So the first thing that WeBank certification does is that you have access to WeBank Link, which is the system that we utilize and also that our corporate members utilize. And so what that means is for a WBE, what that means is that you're able to go into WeBank Link, you're able to look up, let's say, a company, we'll just say PepsiCo, and then you're able to find out that contact person or that supplier diversity's person's name, email address, contact information, a blurb about what that company is. There's also links that they can put in there so that you can link to their site, their supplier diversity portal.
Nice.
So that is first point of access from a WBE perspective.
Okay.
Then from the opposite direction, from the corporate perspective, corporate members are able to go into WeBank Link and they're able to source, which means that let's say they want to purchase consulting, RFP consulting.
RFP consulting, yes.
And they can go ahead and type that keyword in, and then everybody who's certified will pop up, and there's going to be the contact information, a description, years in business. So then they're able to directly contact you.
Oh, nice.
For an RFP opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. So that's two ways. That's WBE and the corporate access point through the technology that WeBank offers.
Wow. That's big. That's a big deal, right?
It's huge.
Yeah.
So then the second piece of access is that you're able to participate in both national and regional conferences.
Yes. So, and they're great, by the way.
So there's one coming up in June in Detroit, which is the WeBank National Conference. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about access from a conference perspective, there's going to be about 4,000 participants at that conference. Wow. About 1,000 of those will be corporate representatives.
Wow.
And so that is probably about 10 years of networking that you can get done in one conference.
Yeah, if you plan it right, right? If you go in with a strategy and absolutely, that's amazing.
Right. And you do have to have a strategy and yes. just a very shameless plug.
Yes,
you know,
please.
We also do have conference prep workshops that we yes. do that also walk you through how to develop your playbook and your strategy to have a great conference and to walk away with the contacts that you need.
Yeah, you guys, and I'm just going to interject real quick. You guys did that last year before I went to the WeBank West conference and it was so helpful because otherwise I would have gone in a little bit blind, not really knowing, and you guys had an event to help walk through that and it was super helpful. So yeah.
So we do that both before our conference and also before the national conference.
Okay.
So that's another access point, right? Nice. You'll be able to go and connect with corporations. Now within that conference, they have matchmaker events. And so that's another access point. So the way that matchmakers work. They have both strategic matchmakers and non-strategic matchmakers at this conference. The strategic matchmakers will pair you up based on what a corporation is projected to buy within the next 6 months to 2 years.
Nice.
So when you're sitting down at a strategic matchmaker, you know that one, the corporation is looking to buy your product and service, and two, that you were strategically matched based on their needs.
That's like a hot lead.
It is.
That's
amazing.
What we all want in our businesses. That's so amazing.
And then they also, another access point is the non-strategic. And that's just when people are just matched just based because that WBE wants to meet that corporation. So there's no strategy in that. So that's kind of a lukewarm lead that you might want to put in your pocket for later, but at least you get that engagement.
Yes, absolutely.
So that occurs at the conference, but then it's just an amazing place just to network and meet people. And so those are a couple of access points through WeBank.
That's really amazing. And I've been a member of WeBank West for years, 5 or 6 years. And I really didn't take good advantage. We were talking about that before the show started. I didn't take good advantage in the last probably 2 years. I've started going to I didn't go to the national conference. I went to the WeBank West conference and I have gotten so much business just because people are referring me that I met there. Right. They weren't necessarily my direct clients, but I met them and they referred me.
So, which is awesome. So that's another access point, right? So when you become certified through WeBank, you also just become part of this amazing network of women-owned businesses. And the one thing that I've experienced in this position that I've never experienced in any other position that I've ever held was really about everybody wanting everyone to succeed.
Yep.
So they will, if they bump into a corporation and they say, hey, I'm looking for, you know, light switches, that woman-owned business is going to go back and search the database, or she's going to be like, oh, well, I just met this lady who does light switches. Let me connect you. So they are always trying to connect each other to opportunities. And I think that's just amazing.
I agree with you. And I agree that I haven't really seen that anywhere else. And even then outside of WeBank, because there are people within WeBank that have referred me out to the National Minority Business Development Council, and they've referred business into me, and I'm now connected with them because of you and your organization. So it is, I agree with you, we're kind of all in the same boat, right? We're all certified small business entities of some sort. And yeah, everybody seems to love helping each other. It's beautiful.
It's wonderful. So that is about the access point, but then you also asked the question about relationships.
Yes.
And so you are relationship building, right? So I think, you know, the best case scenario is that you go to an event, you meet someone, and then, you know, a day later you get a call and they're offering a contract. That is such a one-off. It does happen every blue moon, but it's the story that we all like to tell. Right. But that is not the most, that typically does not happen.
Yeah.
So it is a relationship building. And so we typically try to tell people it takes anywhere from 3 to 7 years sometimes before someone will get a contract. Mm-hmm. But the relationships that you build along the way are so substantial because there's nothing stopping from you doing business with another woman business owner.
Right. Right.
And so I've seen such a drastic increase in B2B. Mm. And so when we're trying to really promote that, especially as contracts are getting larger and larger, the bigger network of women that you have that are doing business in a similar industry, the easier it is for you to connect with people to go after a larger contract.
That's true, right? Because if you're a pretty small business and you need additional resources or anything like that, this is a great network for that too. That's another great access point, right? I love this. So the relationship side of things, everybody, I don't know if you heard that. I want to reiterate 3 to 7 years, 3 to 7 years. So don't think you're going to wake up tomorrow and that this is a magic pill. I think that a lot of times we all want it to be, but this is such an amazing opportunity for you to get in with this. I always call it like this ecosystem because it feels like this just a group of people that are all condensed together, and there's so many different points, even things you're teaching me now that I didn't know about or that I didn't fully understand. There are so many different branches that you can use with this. So,
right. And it is an ecosystem. And I think the corporations also belong to that ecosystem.
Yes.
So, you know, supplier diversity, which are the individuals we typically deal with, their whole goal is to be your internal advocate inside their organization, but they're also a tremendous advocate outside of their organization. So it's a very small community. So if someone from Wells Fargo is looking for X or Y, and someone from Bank of America or even Toyota knows someone who can provide X or Y, they're going to pick up the phone and they're going to call their peers. Mm. And so it's such a small community that just seems very big. But at the end of the day, it's very small and everybody knows everybody within the supplier diversity community.
And then that's where that trust comes in, right?
Correct.
Because so let's talk about supplier diversity for a minute. And can we go back, take a couple steps back, and can you explain what that even means?
Sure. That's a great, I was like, let me take a deep breath on that one.
A deep breath and a drink of water.
A deep breath and a drink of water.
I know it's kind of one of those buzz phrases that goes around that I talk about it a decent amount. And then people, every now and then somebody will say, what does that even mean? And I struggle to define it. So I'm sorry I'm putting you on the spot here.
No, but I'll give you how I see it. I'm not sure if it will be a definition,
yeah,
but I think it will at least paint a picture, right?
Perfect.
So within corporations, they have supplier diversity professionals, and their role really is to advocate for diverse and women-owned businesses and veterans and LGBT to have a seat at the table,
nice.
Which definitely means that they'll be included in RFP opportunities.
Yes.
So that when an RFP or when an opportunity comes out, their whole role is to make sure that there are people within the diverse community that are placed on that bid sheet who meet the minimum requirements and can do the job. So that's really what they do. And then also what I tend to tell people, because a lot of times people get contracts and they don't even go through supplier diversity.
Right.
There's so many different points of entry.
Yeah.
And so what I tell people is to please, when you get a contract, to let the supplier diversity person know. Because if something happens along the way, there's a hiccup, you want an internal advocate to be on your side and at the table and supporting you to continue that contract. So I cannot tell you how many calls I have gotten where there has been a hiccup and the person didn't go through supplier diversity. And now they're asking me to introduce them to supplier diversity because something, their contract that they've had for like 12 years is now going up for bid.
Wow, that is such a great tip. I would have never even thought of that, to let them know. And that the fact is that they are there to be your internal advocate.
Right.
That's their whole purpose.
That is their entire purpose.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for that. I think that was really great clarification too, and how this all fits together with the WBE certification and the supplier diversity. So I'm going to go to some logistical stuff around certification a little bit. So I know you said that 51% of your business has to be owned by a woman to be a WBE. What other requirements are there, if any?
It's 51% controlled, operated, and governed.
Okay.
And so what that means is that, one, we're going to look at your stocks or however your business is designed. So if you are an LLC, we're looking more at managing partners and all of that information. Yep. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at, so that hits part of the control, but not all of the control. So that hits some of the control, right?
Yep.
So we're going to review your bylaws, your minutes, your organizational structure. We're going to talk to you about how decisions are made. We are going to go out and do a site inspection. And we look at just, you know, we do a walkthrough of the office. We might talk to some of your staff. We'll look at some documentation. And people will always say things like, well, you can see that I'm a woman. Why are you doing all of this? Right. Why do you need to come to our facility? And so I always tell people, if I ever wrote another book, I would write about site visits because some of the stories have just been amazing. We had one where the supposed owner got bit by the dog when she went to pet her.
Oh my gosh.
We've had some where we've gone in to ask for the female owner and they're like, who? And so, although we deny probably about 5 to 12% of the files that come
really?
In.
Really? Interesting.
And when we deny, it's usually around that control. Mm-hmm. These one-off stories I'm telling you are just one-off stories.
I love them. Yeah.
But, you know, there are some individuals who decide to get WeBank certified because it will help their business.
Yep.
And sometimes they're not truly the owner of the business.
Yes.
And so at the end of the day, when a corporation stands up and says they did, you know, 8 billion or whatever number it is with women-owned businesses, they want to know that that number is accurate and true. And so that's what we do. We vet businesses to make sure that they are truly 51% owned, operated, and governed.
So I have had several people say to me, say to me, I should just transfer the business to my wife or put it in my wife's name real quick so that we can certify this. You can't do that, right?
Well, they could do it. They may not get certified because unless that female owner knows the book of business.
Yeah. And is involved
and is
in
involved,
some way, shape, or form.
They would not be able to pass our certification criteria.
Yeah. So don't do that, people.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Bad.
And you will get caught. They will find out. So, okay, good. Any other requirements that somebody has to meet? That sounds pretty thorough, though.
Yeah. That is truly 51% owned, operated, and governed.
Wow. Wonderful. All right. Let's talk about some myths when it comes to certification, because I hear them all the time. So I'm anxious to hear what you might hear around what some of the myths are when it comes to being certified. Or becoming certified.
Okay, sure. I think the number one is, I think we talked about it a little bit, that once I get certified, the sky is going to open up, contracts are going to fall out of it, and life is going to be great. So that is definitely a myth. You will get the opportunity to learn about a plethora of opportunities that are going on within corporations. So you will be able to get different bids and things like that will come out. But at the end of the day, the selection process is still the selection process.
Yep.
It's really about your qualifications and your product and services. And what certification will do is it gives you an opportunity to have a seat at the table. It will get you the opportunity to get that RFP notification or to get invited to a bid.
Yeah,
what it does.
And it sounds like such a shortcut there. And again, I kind of hesitate to say shortcut because I don't want people to like get all starry-eyed like we're talking about, right? But there is that access point that you're talking about that you can't get access to these companies really probably anywhere else at the level that you can with WeBank.
So and I think a great example of that is last week we just did a meet and greet with Disney where we selected 25 women who got to sit down with three of the Disney supplier diversity professionals and procurement professionals.
Wow.
Where else does that happen?
Yeah, you got to work years and years and years to even get your foot in the door to begin those conversations. Right. So that's great. Any other myths that you want to dispel?
Sure. I think another myth is that there's a tax break, that corporations get this huge tax break for doing business with women. And that's not actually true. Hmm. So government, and there's no required spin amount. So there is no legislation that says a private entity has to spend 5% or 8% with women-owned businesses. They do that because they want gosh, I totally lost the word I'm looking for.
But it's like, it's their internal.
Right.
Right. They set it themselves based on their.
Right. They set that themselves. Okay. And so there's no requirement out there. For government, there is a requirement.
Yeah.
But for private industry, there is no requirement. And I think that's a big myth. So when I talk to corporations, a lot of times they'll say, oh, if I have one more person come up to me and say, I can help you with your tax requirement, or because it's not there.
Interesting.
They do it because they feel like it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. So that was going to be my next question. So what is in it for the corporations? They're really doing it because they want to support the community in these small, diverse businesses. Is that truly what's in it for them?
I think that's part of what it is. I also think when you look at just what small businesses or women-owned businesses or diverse businesses bring to the table, I mean, they tend to be more flexible. They tend to bring in more innovation.
It's true.
They can turn very quickly. And so there's definitely some benefits to them. And when you look at in the field of technology, how much innovation has been brought to the table by small businesses? It's insane.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And do all corporations, like which corporations value this and how do you know which ones do and don't?
I love that question because I'm going to take you to the WeBank website.
Yay!
So WeBank actually has awards that they hand out.
Yes.
And that is a great place. If you want to know who's serious, look at the WeBank website and see who's bronze, who's silver, who's platinum.
Oh.
That will let you know. Even if you look at the regional site, so if you are only interested in, let's say, doing business in Arizona, look at our website and you'll see who has won awards. You'll also see who's a corporate member because if they're a corporate member, you know that they're putting their money where their mouth is. And they are actively involved and engaged in supporting women-owned businesses.
That's really great. You know, I, on one of my first outings out, I got connected to SRP and they have been such a great, just a partner with me, great advocate. And I can tell how supportive they are, not because they have to meet a quota of any sort, but that they truly care about small businesses in the community and bringing all of that together.
Right.
So I love that you can go out on your website and just see all of that. So WeBank is WBENC.org. That's the national one. Dr. Williamson is specifically here regionally with WeBank West, which is WBEC-West.org.
Correct.
Did I get that right? Okay, perfect.
And then if you are interested in doing business in another state, then just go onto the WeBank National website and scroll down. It has an RPO section. Click on that RPO. There's a huge map of the United States. And each one of those little stars represent one of the regional partner organizations. You click on that, it will take you to their site and you'll be able to see all of their corporate members.
Nice. So yeah, you can see nationally. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Let's talk about we've talked about some of your events, right? We've talked about the national conference and the WeBank West conference, but you have local events too, which are very valuable because I attend a lot of those. Tell us more about those.
So we have local events in Arizona. And in fact, we have events in every state that is covered by WeBank West. Okay. But our local events in Arizona are really all about connecting certified WBEs and potential certified WBEs to corporations within the local market.
Nice.
And we do everything from educational programs to connection programs. Mm-hmm. We're in the process of finalizing a diner round, which will allow you to eat a 7-course meal and meet with a different corporation for each course.
I'm already signed up for that because I'm so excited about it.
So we're in the process of doing that. In the state of Arizona, we hold about 8 events a year, and all of those are listed on our website.
Yeah, and they're really great too. So I've been to some of the educational ones to network with the other WBEs and to get some really great knowledge around what's important to women business enterprises and small businesses. So those are really great. And then I also love, you know, because I've gone to a couple where you have a corporation that brings us in and they tell us how to do business with them.
Right.
I mean, hello, They are telling us how to do business with them.
And we have, we do those in person, but we also have a webinar series.
Oh,
and
nice.
So in fact, we have one on Thursday for the Lucas Museum.
Yes.
And so we also have a webinar series where we have corporations participate that may not necessarily be in our region a lot of times, but they are sourcing nationally.
Okay.
And they talk about who they are, what they do, what they're looking for, what are the minimum requirements, and where the opportunities are within their corporation.
Okay, great. Yeah, y'all, these are golden opportunities to get in front of large corporations and to learn more about this whole ecosystem. So I hope you're listening. I hope you're taking notes, and I hope you are paying attention. All right, so back to the conversation about myths. Any other myths that we want to squash?
So I think another one is that certification is so hard to get through.
Yes, I do hear that one.
And that one is one that I hear probably more than any other one as to why people don't get certified, because it's going to take too much time. So what I can say about that is, you know, it's not easy. It's not a walk in the park. But I used to be an auditor a long time ago.
Wow.
And one of the things I tell people is, even if you don't ever think you're going to want to get certified, pull down the requirements from the WeBank website and compare those requirements to your business. Because I cannot tell you how many times I have sat in a denial meeting where the woman truly believes she controls and owns her company, where I can show her five things in her bylaws or in her stocks that say she doesn't.
Interesting.
And so I think, you know, not just women, but I think a lot of people, when they start a business, they start it because they have a passion,
yep.
right? And so that passion kind of stops them from going to an attorney and getting their bylaws done. Or a lot of times they'll go on the internet and they'll find bylaws and they'll use them. Or they might have inherited their business and never updated their bylaws. And there are nuances within your bylaws that will make you not have control of your business.
Yeah, you know, that's really true. I found the certification process pretty easy. I'm a single owner, solopreneur. I'm pretty organized when it comes to all my paperwork. So it was all put together, and I had hired a lawyer to put, you know, all articles and all that together. And so it was pretty, for me, honestly, it was a really easy process. You've got all your paperwork done well, you've used the right kind of people, and you're an organized person, it's really asking for that kind of information, fill out a few forms and send it in, right? But I think when you get into some more of the complexities, or like you said, if you're copying stuff from the internet, we've all done it, and all of that, it's a really great point to say this is a audit opportunity for you to make sure that your business is set up the way it should be set up so that you don't get yourself in trouble in other ways, right?
Especially if you have partners. It is just such a great tool to just utilize it. So I always encourage people to just pull it down, and it will help you get organized. So if you've ever wanted a tool to get your business organized around your business structure, this is the tool.
That's great. And it's free.
And it's free.
Yeah. You don't even have to become certified, but it might, I'd encourage you to do so. So, all right, wonderful. Well, are there any other things that you think people need to know about certification, about becoming either certification itself or about having the certification and what it can do for their business?
Well, I think about certification itself, I think that if you're a woman-owned business and you have a product or service that you want to sell, this is definitely a great tool for you to have.
I agree.
If you're a woman-owned business and you want to sell to other WBEs, a great tool to have.
Yep.
If you are a women-owned business and you want to grow through partnership, best partnerships in the world are women partners.
Yes.
And so it's just a great network to be involved in.
Yeah.
If you're looking to grow as far as your depth and knowledge in business structure, in marketing, in networking, it's a great group to belong to. It's a great network to have.
Yeah, and I'll attest to that, because I think, you know, one of the other things, and we talked about this or we touched on it a little while ago, is that, you know, we're all looking for additional resources in our business, and we all need to have access to those resources. I know one of the things that I love to do in my business is pull in resources that my clients need outside of the RFP world, right? What else do they need? And when you've got a community like this of people that you can trust, and they're not going anywhere, they're in this ecosystem, and they've got to play, they've got to play smart. They've got to show up and do the right things or their reputation's at stake, right? That's who I tap into. I go look at who the other WBEs are because I know they're serious and I know they're going to take care of my clients. And I do a lot of business with the other WBEs because of that. So there's a lot of, you talked about the access point, but there's a ton of benefits to all of it, right, for sure.
And I cannot tell you how many of our WBEs have grown their business, you know, 20%, 30% mm-hmm. by doing business with other WBs within the network.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
Huge. Absolutely. All right. Well, this has been very enlightening, very good information. Thank you so much for being here. Let's reiterate how they can get in touch with WeBeck West. I'll let you reiterate it in case people understand you better than me as I stumbled over my words.
So one of the best ways is through email, and you can reach me at Pamela at WBEC-West.org. Great. And if you email me, I typically will get back to you within a day.
Yep. She's fantastic about responding back. And she's like the president and CEO. So that says a lot about her dedication to all of you and anybody that wants to become certified. So thank you again for being here. We so appreciate you and everything that you do. And I personally appreciate you and WeBeck West because you guys have done a lot for me and my business. So thank you.
Well, thank you. It was fun. Yes. I appreciate you.
Great. All right. Thank you, everybody. And from Winning Business Radio here in Tempe, Arizona, where we connect businesses to the strategies and resources to help you win more RFPs, I am Lisa Rehurick, the number one leading authority on RFP success.